Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter encountered a man who was paralyzed. And he said to him some very unusual words. I don't think Peter was saying I was having a bad week. Silver and gold have I none. He wasn't going to that man and saying, you know what? The offerings have been down and I don't have any pocket change to give you. He wasn't saying, oh, no, I forgot to go to the cash machine and I don't have wallet cash. Can you take plastic? Right? He didn't go to the man, silver and gold have I none, but I've got Visa. It's a different day. He said, what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Amen. Peter didn't have silver and gold because he had something better. He had faith. But what was his faith in? In the blood of Jesus. It's more precious than silver and gold that perishes. Peter said, what? Didn't he say it himself in chapter 1 of his letter? You've been purchased with something more precious than silver and gold. So he says, while he's out there on the street, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have is the blood of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, get up and walk. Amen. Too often we focus on the name of Jesus or the authority we might have, but I believe we need to go to the foundation of why we have authority. Why was the name of Jesus given to him? Because he shed his blood. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to wrap it up right here. Isaiah 53, and then we'll go to, well, we got a few more scriptures, but I want to really focus on this here. Are you still with me? Do I need to wrap it up quicker? Because I want to take this to a certain place, and I'm just going to talk about two more things. And I'm trying to apply it. I want to apply it to today. How does the blood of Jesus affect me now? Okay? And we're going to start with Isaiah 53. And we see here, this Jesus, Peter spoke to this man to be healed, not by silver and gold. He said, look, here's some money, go to a doctor. No. But we know in Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. So it says he took away, not took like he took away, like sin was taken away by the goat. He took upon himself. They confessed the sins, right, on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. They confessed the sins upon the goat, and then they sent the goat away, the scapegoat. So he took on himself our sins, and then he was sent away. Gone. The sins are gone, just like in the tomb. So at Calvary, our sins were placed upon him, but it says that he took our infirmities. And that word literally means sickness. Amen. So he took our sickness on him and he carried our sickness away from us. Amen. We are healthy because of what Jesus did on the cross. It was the shedding of his blood that gives us health. It was his purchasing of us, and it was the forgiving of our sins that brought us to a place of health. Amen. He carried our sorrows. Yes. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are, and Peter says were, because it's after the fact, right? You were healed by his wounds. Those wounds did what? They released blood. If I want to get my buddy Ted to bleed, I will hit him so he bleeds. And that's a wound. It doesn't have to be big, but it gets the blood flowing. And if, you know, You don't want to do that. His wounds were healed because of the blood that was shed. Praise God. Now I want to focus on two things that will make healing more powerful in our present experience. Number one, forgiveness by the blood of Christ. And number two, intercession by the blood of Christ. Those two things. Many times when you hear teachings on healing, you don't hear those particular topics. Usually you hear about confess the word, believe the word, and you'll be healed. But I want to focus on the blood of Christ as it relates to your healing in terms of forgiveness and intercession. Okay? That's very, very important for healing. You see what I'm saying? What would take place? Now, the blood of Christ first makes us righteous. And second, the blood of Christ intercedes for us before the throne of grace. Let me say it again. The blood of Christ makes us righteous and therefore healed. The blood of Christ intercedes for us and brings us into healing. It's through the work of the blood that we actually have healing. This is a revelation. Usually you think if you bleed, it's his blood, his bleeding. In the old days, doctors used to think that if you bled somebody, you made them better. It only worked for Jesus. Made him dead. Made us alive. Now we're going to focus on Isaiah 53:12. Here we go. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul, his blood, unto death. You see that? The phrase pouring out your soul literally means pouring out your blood, because the soul was found in the blood. The life was in the blood. That's why you were not allowed to drink the blood. You had to honor and respect the life that was there. He poured out his blood, his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. His blood prays for us right now. It was poured out on the ground and it prays for us. He ever lives to intercede for us at the throne of grace, and we're going to look at those scriptures. But I want you to see something, because in the book of Genesis, when Cain killed his brother Abel, God said to Cain, the cry of your brother's blood, I can hear from coming from the ground. It was a cry of intercession. Have mercy on my brother Cain. Don't kill him. God didn't kill Cain, did he? He protected him. And like the blood of Abel, so the blood of Jesus cries out for, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. His blood is a blood of forgiveness. Shedding the blood of the innocent will clear the guilty. Man wants to shed the blood of the guilty to rid the earth. That's man's ways. Jesus forgives the guilty by shedding his blood as the innocent one. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous because Christ bore the sin of many. We are healed and made rich in soul and body. John 3 John 2 says, we prosper and are in health because our soul prospers. The innocent was judged guilty that the guilty may be judged innocent. Sin is the source of the power of sickness. We'll say that again. Sin is the source of the power of sickness in this world. If you deal with the root cause of sickness, you deal with sickness. The root cause of sickness is sin. We need to appropriate healing more from the righteousness of God that's been given to us than just exercising pure power. Well, God, you're powerful, so heal. You're powerful, heal. You're powerful, heal. Well, you can do that only so much. And I'm going to show you in the mindset of the early church in James chapter 5. Turn to James chapter 5. I don't want to wear you guys out. I'm kind of feeling like I'm losing you a little bit here. Okay, so just hang in there, please. I want to share this because I want us to pray. And I feel like we're going to be more powerful in our prayer for healing because of this. I just feel it. We're going to be more powerful in prayer. Okay, all right, hang in there, okay? All right, look at verse 13 of chapter 5. I want you to dig into this, all right? All right, now look here. Is there any one of you in trouble he should pray? That's why we should pray at all times. And pray without ceasing. Right? Especially after, no, I'm just gonna, not going to say after marriage. No, I'm going to say that. In trouble, yeah, that's right. Okay, all right, is anyone in trouble? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Praise. Is anyone sick? Watch this. He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise him up. Resurrection. And look here, this is something we just skip. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. In other words, the prayer for healing deals with the root cause of sin. Now look here, therefore, come on, therefore you have to know what it's there for. Amen. Confess your sins so that you can do what? Pray so that you may be what? Healed. So what do you deal with when you deal with healing first? Sins. And these are two Christians. Yeah, this is the church. Now look here, the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it works. Now, who is the righteous person in this prayer meeting? The elders or the person being prayed for? Yes. Now, I want you to hear me on this. Here is the American mentality of healing ministry. I am the righteous, mighty man of God, full of power, and I will pray for you, poor, pitiful, sick person. Bam! Am I right? I mean, I'm not trying, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm talking about how our thinking needs to be adjusted. But here is a new way that God wants me to look at it that I'm sharing with you. Vincent is the sick man. And the elders of the church, come. They're not the righteous man. They make him righteous. The prayers of the what? the righteous man will bring himself healing. You see, if he doesn't become righteous, he won't find his healing. He's the one who needs to proffer the prayer of the righteous man. Because he's the one who needs the healing. So it's part of the elder's job is to offer forgiveness from sin so that they can walk in righteousness so that they can be healed. Because if they're doing unrighteous things that's making them sick, the elder can't stop them from doing that. I don't live with him. I don't live his life for him. He's the one that's got to find the righteous walk. He's the one that's got to come into forgiveness. Because I'm not the one that's making him take booze or shooting up drugs or doing other stupid, sinful things to make themselves sick. I'm not the one doing those things. He's the one that has to find his righteousness to pray. It says the prayers of the righteous man, the one who needs healing, are powerful and effective. Let's not put too much emphasis on the righteous, mighty man or woman of God that can do everything for you while all you do is nothing. And then you end up staying the same sinful mess you are going from meeting to meeting, getting prayer. Come on now. I think God has a better way for this place. How about you? If you believe that, let's shout amen to that. Come on now. Amen. What would you rather see? I'd rather see somebody who's sick say, Lord Jesus, heal me. Who gets the glory then? I'm just saying this. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just saying. God told me, look at who's the righteous person here. And it shook me when I saw it. It says, Elijah, wow, check this out. Elijah prayed twice. I'm going to talk about the two. We're going to conclude with this. The two prayers of Elijah in this passage. Everybody say, two prayers. The first prayer of Elijah was made so that it wouldn't rain. And the second prayer of Elijah was made so that it would rain. What's the difference? We know the difference is rain. But what's the difference of the prayer? Well, he didn't just douse himself while he was praying. You see what I'm saying? How did he pray? What was different about the prayer of Elijah the first time and the prayer of Elijah the second time? Well, the first prayer was a prayer of judgment. The first prayer brought people to cry out because they were thirsty. The first prayer got some attention. But there's something that happened before the second prayer was made. There was a sacrifice made. There was a sacrifice made before the second prayer. The rain did not come until the sacrifice was made. And that sacrifice was a shedding of blood on the altar of God that was water baptized and burned up with fire. And I believe that Elijah's prayer, the second prayer that Elijah's prayed, would have never been heard unless there was an acceptable sacrifice made amongst the people of God. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. The difference between the first prayer was a prayer of judgment. The second prayer was for rain because there was a sacrifice made that God accepted supernaturally. And that was Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. And because that sacrifice was made, Elijah could get up on the mountain and intercede for God's people. And the rain came. Yeah. The rain came. And this is about healing. How are we going to get healing unless there's a sacrifice made for you? How are you going to find healing? What makes a Christian different praying for healing than some other kind of religion? Our healing was obtained by blood. Not by some mumbo jumbo formula or little gods yelling or doing something or some kind of voodoo. Our healing was obtained because someone bled and you're righteous. And because you're righteous and right with God, you're going to be healed. That's the basis of our healing. Not how powerful we are. Not about the signs and wonders in of himself. Not even in the power of the name of Jesus. Because that name of Jesus is only carries power unless the blood was shed. He wasn't given that name until he bled on the cross. He wasn't given that name until he went to the tomb. He wasn't given that name until he was raised from the dead. And then he was given that name. And that's the name that we preach in. That's the sacrifice that we pray for. And his blood intercedes for us. Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want to walk in the second prayer of Elijah, not the first one. I want to walk in the prayer of Elijah that brings rain because the sacrifice has been made. I want to pray that prayer. And if God is for us, and some people live like God's not for them. They act like God's against them and everybody else. Or God is for them, but not anybody else. God's for me, but he's not for you. Therefore, I'm going to slander you. Look here. This is radical. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Just go on Facebook and you will find them plenty. Go on social media and you will find plenty of charges against God's elect. But I want you to know they do not come from heaven. They don't come from the throne of grace. God is not in the business of charging people with offenses. He is in the business of interceding and pleading for forgiveness. That is his business. That is his charge. It says it right here in the Word of God. My translation says this. It is God who justifies. That's the answer of who shall bring a charge. So who will bring the charge? Will God do it? No. God is in the justifying business. Who is to condemn? He brings it up again. No charges and no condemnation. The charges is what begin the court case, right? And the condemnation is what ends the court case. He is neither involved in the beginning of the court case and the end of the court case. He is the one who says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, I am living and interceding for them. My blood pleads for them right now. And the only way they're going to find any good in this life and any prosperity in this life is by the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. Is Christ Jesus sitting up there throwing down lightning bolts of judgment against us? Not according to Paul in Romans 8. He is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? Hebrews 7:25 says this. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Always means always. He is always living to make intercession for you and for me because of his blood. eternally bringing intercession for people, to bring forgiveness, to bring life. And I believe that saving someone to the uttermost includes healing of the body. That's the uttermost. And in that word, it's got that word pan. That means all. Pan, utterly, all, inclusive, wide. There's many, many benefits to salvation. Let's stand to our feet right now. We're going to pray. God is for you. He's not against you. He's the one who justifies, not condemn. He isn't standing there to accuse you. He's interceding for you. You are the treasure in the field. You are the treasure in the field. He paid it all to purchase you with his blood. He gave up everything he had, including every drop of his blood. And we are the treasure in the field of blood. We are that field of blood that he purchased. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray. Father God, we pray right now for healing to manifest in this room because of the cross, because of forgiveness, because of the shedding of blood. Father, we ask you to show us and to reorient our thinking and our faith, that it would see the importance of forgiveness in the realm of healing. Father God, I cancel every accusing word that comes into our heads. I cancel every negative thought that says that you're no good. I cancel the thoughts that say that you're a failure. I cancel thoughts that say that you're wicked. I cancel thoughts that accuse and condemn, because those aren't the thoughts from the Father. Father, we partner with the intercessory work of the blood of Jesus. Like the great hymn that Charles Wesley wrote, "Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on thy behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atones for all our race and sprinkles now the throne of grace." Father God, we partner with the intercessory power of the blood of Jesus to liberate us from thoughts and attitudes of condemnation and accusation. It is God who justifies, and it is Jesus who intercedes. And Father God, we pray that as we pray for other people to be healed, and right now I just want us to just pray for somebody to be healed. And what I'd like us to do is to forgive, to speak the forgiveness of Jesus over them. It could be somebody that you know right now. Think of somebody that you know that needs healing. So right now where you're at, I'm asking you to pray for somebody. And I want you to bring forgiveness over them while you pray. Can we do that right now? I'm going to go pray for my wife. So let's just do that right now.